Okay, then at 5:38, what I have will call to order. And our second item is the approval of the August board agenda. Did anyone have any comments on that?
Move to approve.
Second. We can just go directly to the roll call as we have been.
Perfect. Okay, Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Aye.
Denise? She's probably on mute, huh? Lily?
Hello, I'm here. Did I miss anything? Sorry, I'm a little late.
No worries. We were just voting on approval of the board agenda. That was all. So I'm all doing my roll call vote. We just decided to just go right into it.
All right on.
Do you approve?
I approve.
Okay. And then Dixie.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So
I sent a note to Ms. Garcia. Did she approve?
I'm here. And yes.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm having a huge delay with my Wi-Fi. And so I don't know what's going on. I'm at work and I shouldn't, but I have a huge delay in here. So forgive me if I freeze or if I don't catch everything that's being said.
Hey man, we just did a year and a half of digital education. We're well apprised of that.
And all the nuances that it has, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's motion carries with 5 votes.
Okay. Public comment. Is there anyone from the public either in virtually or represented with an email or anything like that?
No, I have no feedback from San Bernardino.
El Centro?
No.
Okay. All right. So we can move on to the agenda items. Approval of the June minutes, which is attachment A.
I move to approve. Dixie?
Do we have a first?
A second.
Okay. Do you want me just to go into the roll call if there's
yes, please.
Okay. Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Motion passes with 5 roll call votes. Okay.
Doreen, do you want to discuss the unaudited financials?
Yes. So I had reached out to Christy this morning, and board members, I will apologize. We had asked to move the board meeting a week late with hopes that we would have the unaudited financials. Back office experienced delays. Again, this is year end. I think it came from a combination of things. Reconciling with Southwest payments owed to them at the end of the year, as well as I know that they had some illness on their behalf this week. So given that, again, I apologize. I got them at 3:45. I got San Bernardino's at 3:45. I did not want to send them to you at 3:45 and ask you to approve them. So without having an opportunity to review them. So what I would respectfully ask is if we could pull this item from the agenda. The dilemma we are in is that they're required to go to our San Bernardino School District on Friday. We know that our San Bernardino School District always wants them way ahead of schedule. At the same time, given that they want them on Friday, I would ask the board members if you were amenable to doing a quick call Friday morning just to approve San Bernardino's unaudited financials. Again, I apologize. I don't have any better excuse than we just dropped the ball on it at this point with our back office.
I'm available.
This Friday, I have a short window available between, it looks like 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Do we want to do a 9 o'clock? I think it will not take longer. It's one of those few minute calls kind of things. That Denise, I think we could have you off honestly by 9:15. Yeah. Usually in the past, unless there's anything.
Okay.
You know, knock on wood. I'm going to knock on wood.
Yeah. Friday at 9 works for me. Does that work for Lily? And
I think I should be. I have a 10 a.m. appointment. So as long as, or a Zoom call, but okay. Yeah, 9 should be fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
How many you need? 4? 5? 4 should be okay. Yeah.
We'll 4. Need 4, yeah.
Okay. 4.
Are we going to next one?
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Please go ahead.
Okay, so board members, you've already approved this before we had ended school, our early literacy support grant, and they had reached out to us and they had asked us to make some adjustments to the language so that then our narrative specifically matched the language and our budget. So ultimately the content and the budget stayed the same. We made one modification based on actually your recommendation. We had clumped initially in the budget the benefits and the salary. We pulled out the benefits from the salary. Ultimately, bottom line, the budget stayed the same, our approach stayed the same, our language matches now between the two documents. That is requiring us to bring this back to you for an approval. Shannon, did I leave anything out?
I do think it's worth noting that we also changed the language of the supplemental curriculum to indicate that it wasn't exclusive to any special population, wasn't exclusive to ELD or special ed or anything like that. So we clarified that it's serving all students. And we had put that in there already, but the reviewers wanted it spelled more out. Specific. Yeah, spelled out a little bit more.
Move to approve. Dixie.
Okay. Thank you.
Second, Carla.
Okay. I have a first and I have a second. Christy, unless you give me the no sign, I'm going into roll call vote.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Dixie.
Yes.
Carla.
Yes.
Christy.
Yes.
Denise.
Yes.
And Lily.
Yes.
Motion passes with 5 votes.
Okay. Next.
Next, we have before you the National School Lunch contract with our El Centro vendor. No new changes in it. The school district provides us with vended meals. Central School District provides Ballington Academy with vended meals. They did not make any changes to the cost going into this year. Again, we based on limited resources in the Valley, we have just opted to use the school district, and we've been using the school district now for years. We find it much better than trying to prepare and make our own meals on site.
True.
In the midst of everything else, right?
And this is just for El Centro, right?
It's just for El
Centro. That's what you said. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, you know, what needs to be in and how much of this and how much of that and no more than this. And oh my God, that's complicated.
Yeah.
It is. They are, oh my goodness. We had a NSLP audit. We've had it twice now. just extreme amount of details, even down to, you know, how much serving of what type of food, how much of the food. And then even now, I think going into this school year, because essentially all students get free meals. Prior, that was not the case. We had to identify them based on their income. And even that, with all of that eligibility paperwork, was just tremendous. So it's a pretty, I just want to say, very detailed program.
Mm-hmm.
And the food alone, I mean, the distribution, they've got to track production records and everything, which vending with the school district, they do all of that, and they keep track of all their recipes and all of that. So thankfully for us, we found that to be beneficial.
Well, it seems like nothing has changed, and they haven't changed their prices. I'll go ahead and move to approve.
Christy.
Second.
Carla. Sarah. I'm going to go for the roll call vote. Christy.
Aye.
Carla.
Yes.
Denise.
Yes.
Lily.
Yes.
And Dixie.
Yes.
Motion carries. 5 roll call votes.
Next is the approval of Elizabeth. How do you pronounce your last name? Villalobos?
Villalobos.
Okay.
I met Liz last week at the post office and asked her if she wanted to join again. And she said, yeah, I mean, she's still taking care of her mom and stuff. So, but she would like to come back as much as she can. She can't promise to be there every week. So I guess Doreen talked to her or emailed her.
Yes, I reached out to her and I asked her if she would be interested in, we had, at the time, she went on a leave of absence. She didn't resign from the board due to some family situation. And given that, we were trying to be as supportive as we could, that should she want to return one day, the board would, it would be under a leave of absence versus an actual resignation. She had shared she's comfortable asking the board if she could be, I guess, for lack of a better language, made active again, returned from her leave of absence. Just knowing that she does care for a family member, and there might be some times that she will not be able to join us. But she was actually one of the board members that, or I want to just say, nearly started with Ballington and really watched the history from El Centro to San Bernardino, and really has a lot of, I think, strong historical perspective for the school.
Well, I'll make a motion to make her active again.
Yeah, I'll second that. It'd be nice to have her back, and nice to hear her perspective.
And her background is, I believe, she used to work at Union Bank. So she's a banker, right, Carlos?
Yes.
So financial, yes. Financial, I think, is probably a best way to sum it up, right?
Yes.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second. Carla?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
And Dixie?
Yes.
Motion passes with 5 roll call votes. And then the next, I will not take, I know we have a long agenda today, so I'll try to make these as quick as possible. The first one is just, I really wanted to give you an update. When we were leaving in June, I did share with you, I received a request for information from Mr. Ledoux, our El Centro superintendent, and he really wanted some background and information on Mr. McFadden's resignation and how that would impact Ballington Academies. We had consulted the attorneys. We also consulted our attorneys our Ballington attorneys. And then I did notify our interim president, Barbara, and I'm getting Bananiski. She actually sought national counsel. So they brought in an attorney from national counsel. So ultimately, board members, this is a combination of multiple viewpoints, multiple perspectives in our response to Mr. Ledoux. This is just a copy for your records. We tried to address each kind of statement with a response. For him, this actually went to him. It met the deadline that he had requested. As of today, I have not heard anything back from this letter. I have not heard anything related to our current, I guess I want to say, leadership at Ballington. He did share with me, thank you, Doreen. I appreciate the information. And that was all. But this is more of an informational update item for you. The next one goes hand in hand with the prior unaudited financials. This is going to speak specifically to El Centro.
Also, Aaron
El Centro is due September 10, and our board meeting is September 21st. I do not believe that back office will have El Centro's prepared by Friday. That's just, I'm not even going to believe that that's possible at this point. So I would ask the board members if we could add another September meeting. Again, a short meeting to approve El Centro's unaudited financials. I'm just looking at, I don't, because that would, if we wanted to collapse the meetings in September, that would have another board meeting on the 7th, which is super soon, and not have one on the 21st, but I'm not sure how it pleases the board.
Well, the choices are to add one brief meeting later in the month or push the whole meeting to the month, to the end of the month?
It would, I guess the options would be to add one brief meeting closer to the beginning of the month.
Oh, beginning. Okay.
Because it's due September 10th. So we could do the same exact thing. We could meet that morning and approve it and then go ahead with our September 21st meeting later in the month. And that could be the long, the official, I guess, the long meeting, how, for lack of a better word. Our regular meeting with all of our agenda items on it.
I'm fine with doing that. You know, having the quick meeting at the beginning of the month and maintaining a regular meeting later. How do others feel about that?
I'm good too.
I'm okay.
I'm apprehensive about asking you to cancel the later one. There's just so many changes that are coming through the CDE and require, I just, and with the current situation, I would just like to have that option of being able to meet with everybody again.
Sounds good. Okay. And I'm sorry, did you mention a date? Did you say the 7th?
10th.
10th, sorry.
It's due the 10th, so we could do like a 8 o'clock meeting on the 10th, a quick call.
Okay. Do we have a time in mind?
Is it better to do first thing before like at 8?
Just looking at my calendar here.
What do you say, Denise?
With the kids back in school and my drive time, 8 o'clock's rough, but I can call in just on my cell phone if that's okay.
Do you want to push it later? Is it easier later?
But I'm sure it's probably easier for everybody first thing in the morning for everybody else. But so I can make it work, like I said, at 8, but I'll just call in myself instead of video if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So September 10th is a Friday. Is it possible to do it before 9:30, like at 9 o'clock?
Yep. 9 o'clock on Friday the 10th.
Green, do we have a finance meeting that day, that time?
At 9:30.
9:30, okay.
Yeah, this is only going to take like 5-7 minutes.
So September 10 at 9 o'clock. I almost said August. I'm like,
be careful not to let all the parents gather. We need to do social distance, okay?
Okay. All right. And then the next piece is just again an update item. It's payroll transition. As we kind of talked at one of our meetings, we're trying to be very deliberate in separation with CEDC and Southwest. One role was payroll, and really moving our payroll to back office. Effective July 1st, that occurred. I will be completely upfront, has had some glitches. I think probably with any system change, I think we can anticipate glitches. And we're still working out some of those bumps. Even today, we had a discussion with around STIR. So that's just an update, board members. I'm hoping that a couple more rounds of this payroll, that with them doing the payroll, it will get smoother. But just FYI for that. Any questions on that? Southwest is still playing a lot larger role than I had anticipated. I did make it very clear to them that really they can't keep relying on Southwest. Southwest is going to go away. They're not meant to do payroll. They are, but we'll see how that goes. I wanted to ask the board members. I know we've been meeting via Zoom because of the pandemic. I know things are starting to open up. I also know that the Delta's seeming to rear its ugly head again. You know, different counties have different numbers and are kind of battling with different situations. But I did want to put it on the agenda just to have a discussion about if we wanted to return to in-person meetings, if so. When did we want to try to wait through the holidays, flus? I mean, it's up to you, board members.
I think we should wait and just have the Zoom meetings maybe to the end of the year, especially, you know, since the uptick of COVID.
That was my thought too, that, you know, let's target January for in-person meetings again. You know, and obviously we'll see if things get better or worse with COVID and the Delta variant or any other variant. We can adjust as we need to, but I was thinking the same thing. January would be a good time to start in person again.
To me, I'm already getting enough exposure now that things are opening and we're going back to in-person stuff. So it's fine to stay Zoom for a little while, a little less exposure.
Yeah.
But then I will put it as a note to revisit in January, if that works for the board members.
Works for me.
Thank you. Works for me as well.
I know it's so touch and go. Then the next piece, there were a lot of different regulations that came down as part of the budget. Positively, the budget turned out better than anticipated for education. With it, though, came a lot of different budget trailer bills and legislation. Ultimately, there is AB 104, specifically how it related to us. It was a positive for our San Bernardino Charter School because it actually extended our charter term for 2 years. And I know I put that in your packet, just the letter from the school district. Unfortunately, they had a time frame and El Centro did not fall within that time frame of it was based on when charter terms ended. So his ended 2026 and that was not included. That's just an FYI. We're happy, I think, about that. The next piece is return to school. I know Mr. Anderson had to step out. Shannon, do you want to start? That's probably the most important topic of all.
It probably is. Yesterday was the first day of school. Things have been so busy. I'm trying to figure out what the best place is to start for all of you. Last week we had our teacher report week and people were coming back and getting the building ready. And I don't think we adequately anticipated the amount of work it was going to take to get the building ready after not using it for a year and a half. So last week became much more frenzied, I guess is the word, but it also generated quite a bit of excitement. Normally during teacher report week, we have quite a bit of professional development and training, but just like every other industry, the companies that were supposed to provide the training lost a great deal of personnel or weren't able to rehire. So we wound up postponing quite a few things. The curriculum training, there was something else. We were going to have to postpone the CPR training, but we did have the husband of one of our new teachers. He's in law enforcement, so he was able to do it last minute. So I was very excited about that. We were able to have mental health first aid from the County of San Bernardino, and that gave teachers and staff some hands-on ideas on how to distinguish students that were just having a bad day or having a temper tantrum versus somebody who was really in crisis, and then what to do. And then we also had our AVID boost. So we had our AVID representative from the county come and spend a few hours with them and get the teacher set up for the organizational skills and things like that. And so that was our week last week. And then yesterday was the first day of school. And it was incredibly busy, but it was really, really smooth. I was really pleased by the end of the day. I know this sounds like an odd thing to be excited about, but we had no criers. We were really, really planning for these little kindergartners and even first graders to have meltdowns because they've been with their families for so long, and it would be very hard to step away for the first time. And we did not have one single meltdown. We had one today, the second day. So I had a little guy on my lap for quite a while this morning while he calmed down, and then he wound up having a great day. But 2 days in a regular year, let alone post-COVID, and only one meltdown, that's phenomenal. No behavior problems whatsoever. Lunch is going very smoothly. We're eating breakfast in the classrooms. And so far, the kids are super happy. The teachers and the staff, very, very busy, very exhausted, but very happy as well, because things are going very smoothly. I can jump into the report as well, or we can bump it back to Bill for seeing how the day went, Doreen, whatever you think is best.
Do you want to just keep going, Shannon, then you'll roll?
Sure. Yeah. Joseph, could you scroll down to the principal reports? Because I'm not going to remember everything unless I see it. I'm a very visual person. There I am.
I think page one is three pages down. They're just slightly out of order. Yeah, there's the first page.
Oh, I see. Okay. I should bring it up on my own. Okay. So obviously the area of focus, we returned to full in-person learning. So it's about being collaborative again collaboration only went so far over Zoom. So it was about being collaborative again. It's about the high quality instruction. It's about the students learning how to do school again. I mentioned it later on in the report, but one of the things we're looking at is what we call the hidden curriculum. You know, do you know how to write your name on the paper? Do you know how to participate in a large group? A lot of things that, because we're adults, we take for granted. It's just kind of social nicety. So we're focusing on that. We really, really are committed to both conducting and communicating our increased safety and cleaning protocols. We're making sure it's very visible to students, parents, and staff. Everybody is equipped with the cleaning wipes and the sprayer and everything they need. We've got water dispensers in the classrooms. We've got portable sinks in the classrooms. The students are, and staff are being so good about their masks. We had a family get out of the car today before they even got out of the car. We forgot our masks. Can we come or do we have to go home? So we're really building that. I'm happy that they're adapting to that culture pretty easily. And we actually got a compliment. We had our special ed person visiting from the district and she was so happy to see everybody. And she came up, she pulled me aside and she said, you all are amazing. You're actually wearing the masks. Of course we're wearing the masks. And she said at district schools, they're just not doing it. And I'm thinking that because we're small, we're able to control it a little better than a school with maybe 800 students and a staff of 75. And so since we're able to control it, I'm very optimistic that maybe we won't have the numbers or the domino effect with being contagious that we're seeing at some of the bigger schools. So obviously we're continuing to address learning loss. That's a biggie, academic achievement, student engagement, all those things. And we're very, very, very committed to them. We had a great year last year and we want to just kind of keep riding that wave and continuing to increase the achievement. So we do have a dedicated interventionist for ELA, and she is staying on track of both our current special education students, as well as following the multi-tiered systems of support process for anybody that needs to be identified, plus that additional instruction. And she's not doing it this week, but she's going to start with the kindergartners and administering the DIBELS assessment in the kindergarten room to really identify those youngest students who might have some learning gaps and make sure they have foundational skills. And we just had a conversation today and we talked about how starting with the kindergarten class and getting them into that pull-out program or the push-in program, you know, really the second week of school is an investment in 3 or 4 years down the road. And that's one of the reasons we need her help. We are still focusing on getting our new ELA curriculum off the ground, but that does go back to one of the industries I mentioned before that they are so short-staffed. We still haven't had training. So I very professionally and nicely let them know of my concern with the delay. I see Doreen smile. She's read some of those emails that I've sent. And again, just the last 2 days have just spent practicing how to do school while still maintaining COVID protocols. We're still looking at closing the gap, mitigating learning loss. Joseph, can you scroll up, please, I think. I'm not sure what page 2 is. Okay, so we're still doing Kagan. We're still doing small group. We're still doing AVID. We're focusing on organization this year, and that includes students providing self-reporting for their behavior to the adults at home. And if they don't have an adult at home, they'll be assigned an adult at school. The ELO grant as well. That kind of goes hand in hand with the ACES funds. And so we were able to redefine our after-school program coordinator. So that's, we started yesterday. We hit the ground running. Day one, come to the after-school program. We were able to hit the food bank, so we have significant and pretty healthy snacks for the after-school program. We have very high-quality people that have been spending a significant amount of time planning, and just I'm super, super happy about our after-school program this year because we do have a credentialed person in the place of the coordinator. She's been with Volunteers of America for 20-some-odd years. The kids know her, the parents know her. I'm really excited about our after-school program. And then I did mention at the beginning of this how we are preparing teachers and everything that happened last week. Our enrollment as of today is a little bit lower than we want it to be. We're at about 170. So we want to get that up, but we are getting interest forms almost every day. So I anticipate that that will bump up really close to our, if not past our anticipated enrollment. And Joseph, if you could jump to the last page of that report, I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. And enrollment, that's what we're doing. We renewed with South Coast, which is our mental health provider, that if families need support, if a student needs counseling, South Coast Community Services is the organization that we go through. And they did everything on Zoom last year, but they are going to be able to resume in person, assuming everything stays. But as of right now, they're able to resume in person. And I know that I went through that really quickly, but if any board member would like me to expand on anything or have any questions about anything, I love talking about our school, so I'd be happy to answer anything. Doreen, do you think I missed anything?
No, and I think it's so hard. You know, the first 2 weeks of school, it's just an ebb and flow on that enrollment. Yeah. You know, you get some, it really is a dynamic until I would probably say the second or third, even the third week of school, sometimes yeah. You get to where you kind of have some stability.
And I could be wrong. I might be misreading the situation, but from what I'm seeing in the community of San Bernardino, kind of the greater San Bernardino area, I think that we're going to see an increase in kindergarten and first grade enrollment in the middle to end of September. I know that we've seen some economic experts say that in California, that's when we're going to see an increase in people applying for jobs and seeing some of this short on staffing issues resolved. I think that's when we're going to see the enrollment. I have no data to back this up, but in my heart of hearts, I believe that we have a large number of kindergartners that are still at home because the parents are still at home. And I could, like I said, I could be wrong, but that's what my gut tells me.
And it goes and, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think some of the, I don't want to call it stimulus, but the assistance that has been provided with COVID is tapering off now. And so even though I don't know the exact dates on that, you know, that could be what you're hearing, Shannon, could be, coinciding with that.
I agree with you, Christy.
Go back to work. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's the driving force.
Yeah. I would echo. I was just going to share, I think the staffing, we've had such a challenging time finding, you know, some of our nutritional aides and our ASIF aides. And I think that really goes aligned with some of the stimulus and that tapering off. So we were hopeful, at least I know Shannon and our discussions were like, let's try to just get to September.
But I do want to say that it's been really neat to go look in the classrooms the first 2 days, because just the amount of collaboration and the amount of rigor that were already in place, especially with our classrooms that were full of students that were returning, was just amazing. The fifth grade, they did a game today where they had to cut out little flashcards, and they had a pile of prepositions, and they had a pile of adjectives, and they had a pile of adverbs, and they created their own board game, and they had a spinner, and they moved, and so they had to use their playing cards for the parts of speech. It was really cute. I went into a second grade classroom, and the kids were all excited about their inside PE because they were doing yoga, and they're all on their backs on the floor with their legs kicking and stretching, and I'm just very happy with what I'm seeing.
That's fantastic.
Well, you can definitely see it with the traffic with school kids coming back to school. Oh my God.
No.
Oh, you are kidding. Wow. Yes.
If you don't want any more, I will go ahead and hand it over to Mr. Anderson.
Thank you. So, yeah, this whole month has gone by really fast. Oh, wait, so we've only been open for a day and a half. I think we had a good start of the year as well. You know, the half day was the honeymoon period. And you know, and again, what I was really happy voicing, you know, also what Ms. Shannon was saying was just the kids were so happy. You know, they were happy to be with each other. They were happy to be back at school, and they were happy, you know, and it was a good day, you know, and today was a long day. It tested everybody's endurance, you know, but I think we got through it all right. You know, again, you know, I think it was a good start. And, you know, at the end of the first half day, you know, we met afterwards to discuss and process. And all I could say to them, well, you know, great. You guys did a great job. You know, I mean, that's all I could say. That's all I wanted to say to them. It was great, you know. So we're happy, you know, and they're up and teaching. We begin map testing tomorrow. You know, today was our first day of ACES, you know, so we got that up and running. You know, I'm real happy I found a coordinator who, you know, looks like she can grab the bull by the horns and run it, you know, so I kudos to her. You know, tonight I'll write her an email thanking her so much, you know, so I feel good about that. But again, I need to find somebody to do like a part of the I need somebody in the after school place, you know, because Miss Paul is not going to be there anymore. And I have somebody from the cafeteria that's going to step up. But I need to use that program for the kindergarten, second grade, third grade reading program we're going to do. So I'm looking to hire that. So wish me luck. As far as, you know, what we're focusing on, you know, academically focusing on student learning loss. All right. And what we're doing is working on teacher effectiveness this year. So a lot of the monies that we've received, I've tapped two professional organizations. The first one is Solution Tree, and they work with Richard DeFore's ideas of developing a professional learning community, which is the real goal of obtaining mastery of grade level standards, you know, so that's going to be a major focus on what we do in our core instruction period. And then along with that, too, he's working with us on, you know, developing putting in place a system of response to intervention, you know, because after doing the charter renewal and looking at my 5-year data, you know, I was not happy with the fact that, you know, we're not moving up enough, you know, so we really have to focus on what we need to do. Part and parcel of that is, you know, we've carved out a response to intervention teacher. I'm still looking for a lower grade one or another teacher to go with it. And that would be Ms. Torres, who was our sixth grade teacher. I hired a new sixth grade teacher for her just the other day. So she stepped up and she used to substitute for us. So she knows the kids. Yeah. And, you know, after she signed her contract, she was so happy. She was, you know, like, wow. And her class is, she's got a large group of girls, you know, and when they saw her, because they know her from subbing, they were like, oh, we're so happy that you're here, you know. So it was a good hire. You know, so she's right on board there as well. So we'll be working with the professional learning community and carving out that a little bit more. And then we're working with Fontes and Pinnell. And this is like, we have, I have about 15, maybe 20 professional developments throughout the year where we had on-site, and then we'll be doing digital as well. And with the Fontes and Pinnell, the idea is to become more effective at implementing the curriculum, because when we purchased it, the pandemic hit, you know, and then we had a shift to other kinds of instruction as well. So, you know, it was good to see them. And we began that with benchmark assessments, and they were just like, wow, this is great. You know, so they really gained a lot of understanding of the program and are all excited about beginning their first benchmark assessment as well. So with those two pieces, I'm hoping that we become, you know, more effective instructors. You know, I'm focusing on instruction. And again, we, as far as interventions, we're providing targeted skill-specific after-school academics in an ACES program. So when we get our MAP tests results, what we will do is we will look at our third through sixth grade students, and we will be able to not organize them according to grade level, but to organize them according to skill-specific needs. And so that we hope to target it that way. And then with the extended learning grant, we purchased then part of the Fontes and Pinnell materials, and we will be developing, and that's going to be starting in September, small group reading, and there'll be three teachers manning that, and it'll be 3 days a week, and it's 30 minutes, six kids in a group. There's a kindergarten teacher working it, a second grade teacher working it, and then also our ELL reading specialist is going to be working it as well. So we're hoping that the small group work that we do you know, will give us a lot of bang for our buck, you know. And again, I mentioned the RTI teacher, and she's going to be working with tier 3 and 2. And then we have our NESI program worker. She's working during the school day as well. You know, where am I now? Let's see. Oh, and then we use Compass Learning. We'll continue to do that. We will continue doing goal setting from the scores that we have. So hopefully we can do it. Of course, the outcome we hope is going to be student parent ownership of student learning, student parent awareness of student social emotional well-being, deeper student engagement, increased student achievement in the classroom as demonstrated by the SBAC test. How are we preparing teachers? Everything I just talked about. That's what we're doing. Resources, we purchased a second portion of Fontes and Pinnell reading curriculum, and we're looking at specific EL reading curriculum right now to help our EL students. Map data, that's the wrong thing. I was going to put down, you know, we have data from last year, but we haven't map tested yet, but we will analyze that data once we're done, and then we'll be able to develop our intervention classes. And that's where we are. Any questions? No?
I think a lot of the planning that went into this really was, trying to prepare for learning loss. We didn't know what to expect. So I know both Shannon and Bill really looked at different intervention, staffing design, and then absolutely curriculum resources and professional development just to be responsive to that.
No, I figure if we've got good teachers or great teachers in the building, we're going to see a difference, you know. So we have to make them better and provide them the resources they need to understand and implement the curriculum correctly. And one thing I noticed, you know, and this is something that, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this in your school, Shannon, but with our TK and kinder, and we have a TK combined kinder and a kinder class, I'm seeing a lot of serious regression and, you know, behavior. It's like they're not used to being with kids. You know, you got to figure this was when they were like 4 years old, 3 years old, 3.5 years old, you know, and you could see the difference. I mean, behaviorally, some of these kids are off the hook, you know.
Yeah, Bill, I had mentioned that when you had stepped away, that we were anticipating that.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen it yet. The teachers are wondering if we're in a little bit of a honeymoon period.
And probably. Maybe
we'll see it, you know, in the coming days. But
I'll quote my kindergarten teacher after that first half day. She goes, "Well, the honeymoon is over already." Because usually they're on their best behavior for 2 weeks and then they're off the hook. But she goes, "Not today." You know, and seriously, I'm seeing some serious behavior problems and an inability to listen and follow directions and squirrely behavior, you know, like bizarre.
All classroom teachers.
And that's honestly, board members, that's one of the reasons we made the decision to not do our MAP testing until after week 2, because we need to make sure they know how to follow directions, how to listen, because we want that MAP data to be as accurate as possible. So I applaud Bill for jumping in tomorrow.
I don't know if we're going to be doing the kindergarten, but I'll tell you, looking around at all the other classes, though, they're on it. You know,
these kids
are on it. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Instructions taking place. You can see, you know, I mean, in fact, you know, front office today, it got real quiet and it was like, wow, it's quiet. So then I'm walking around looking at the classes and I'm like, they're learning.
You know, it's not quiet in San Bernardino.
The littler ones, they haven't been in school. That's the thing. They don't know any of those school procedures.
Right. It's teaching them school again. And one thing I apologize for forgetting, one thing I did, and I'm pretty sure Bill did something similar with his teachers last week, but the LCAP goals are so paramount. It's every year, everything's supposed to go to one of those LCAP goals. So I actually created a flow chart that, you know, the Volunteers of America mission, and then the LCAP goals under that, and then our actions under that. Because to address that learning loss, to mitigate that learning loss, we need to have a laser-like focus on those end goals, which, as Mr. Anderson mentioned, it's those SBAC scores.
Yeah. So, and again, that's, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, and the thing is, you know, we also have to, you know, as I've talked to my staff, we have to be flexible enough to change and to jump. I mean, you know, it might be digital half the year. I don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. So we're ready on the edge of whatever happens to make it happen in our favor. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you.
That's all I got to say.
Should we transition to the board discussion items? So just, I know, just a brief update. Usually when we approve our school budgets, because we have to have them in so early, we have to do it before the budget from the governor is finalized. So we always are trying to update our financial picture, as well as because we have a better picture of our enrollment. But just some overarching themes, a lot of changes in his budget, extremely more positive than we thought. His approach really was to do a lot of one time. I think they do these one times so they don't have to commit should that be a less positive financial picture the following in the future. But ultimately, a serious commitment to return to on-site learning. I think we saw that even back in March and April, a lot of investment in getting kids back to school on-site and a shift from remote learning. A lot of concentration on transitional kindergarten, really wanting the kids to come into school earlier and younger. So he has invested significant money in funding and teacher development and class size reduction. At this point, he's even asking for the ratios in transitional kindergarten to be significantly less than all of our other grades. I mentioned earlier free meals. Usually we had to identify the students based on income that were eligible for free meals. Now all students that go to school this year, as well as effectively going into next year, will have access to free meals. A little bit more bureaucracy. He's really worked in something called the California Collaborative for Educational Excellence, where we really have to report our numbers and whether or not we're on site, whether or not we shifted to remote learning. So a little bit more tracking on that. He also recognizes a significant amount, as we've been talking about staffing, along with teacher shortages. So a lot of dollars have been invested into professional development and ultimately this whole idea of learning loss and improving equity and quality across the board in academics. I tried to do a table for you, and I also provided you with a budget pocket guide that really tried to summarize all of the budget changes, but happily a very large COLA, which these are not included in our budget for May and June. So we will have to do a revised budget in the near future. But a COLA, he's also focused on giving some additional dollars for K-3 grade span adjustment. I think a really significant one, and we talked a little bit about this, and it's part of the stimulus package. We've had ESSER 1, we've had ESSER 2, and now we have ESSER 3, which is a substantial amount of dollars that they are requiring and will be bringing before you probably in our September meeting. We have to do a budget for those specific ESSER 3 dollars, as well as a plan. And the CDE, much like all of our other templates, has provided a template that we will need to complete and present to you. Other than that, again, additional dollars in the area of nutrition. They're talking about one time, $25,000 per school for equipment and infrastructure building. And then also, which is different, additional dollars for your classified staff for training. So definitely lots of one-time dollars, as well as an acknowledgement on educator professional development. Any questions on the budget? It is very, very detailed. I tried to give you like a 10,000 foot approach to it.
I can see the participation of the students for El Centro is 237. Are we going to lose a lot of money because of that?
Oh, yes, we will. But we've gone up a little bit today. So, you know, my hope is what Shannon's hope is.
I believe we're going to need to redo the budget based on actual enrollment. You know, going into this school year, unlike last school year, we were in a hold harmless. He paid us based on our prior P2. That is no longer in effect. But we will need to redo the budget. With the COLA and some of these additional one-time funding, I think we'll need to utilize those unless our enrollment picks up significantly.
Right, and we're reaching out to the community. I've had some people coming in today for tours. You know, we've had more tours happening. We're actually putting flyers in different businesses with the RIP telephone numbers. You know, we just had this new, a market open up next door. So there's some kind of an outlet thing. They're all over San Diego. So that's drawing traffic. Then there's a guy that opened up his business right next door to us, and it's a jujitsu place. And evidently he teaches children on the weekends and in the afternoons. We put a big sign about enrolling now, you know, and turn it towards where they have to walk past. So I'm hoping that'll do something too.
Yeah, but what happened with the kids you lost?
Well, we our TK and kindergarten enrollment is down. If kindergarten is not mandated and you're a parent and you're afraid of COVID, would you send your kid to school? We have four TK kids. We usually have 20, you know? I mean, we usually have at least 46 kindergartners. You know, we almost only had, and I hate when this happens, but you know, we didn't even have 25 TK and kindergartners until like 3 days ago. Or you know what I mean?
We're hopeful.
And yeah, we're in the same boat. Normally I have 50 TK and kindergartners. This year I don't even have 25.
Wow. Yeah. And then I read some article about, you know, birth rates going down.
Well, and children in state preschools once they turn 4, if they're going to turn 5 years old during the TK window, they can't be in state preschool anymore. They're bumped out to go to a transitional kindergarten.
But that's so next year, isn't it?
No, that's right. That's right away. That's been in place since May, right?
No, the governor got so much pushback on that.
Really?
That's not it.
So actually this works against.
Yeah.
Right.
Bellington, because now we thought at one point if they were pushed to go to TK and public school charters, that would help the enrollment, which is no longer the case. They can make it. It is their choice. They can choose TK at their state preschool, or they can choose TK under a public school. And I will share with you, state preschool is more familiar, I think, to some of the parents. Yep. And the ratio is significantly lower. So at this point, I think that will, I know over time it will evolve. He has money in the budget next year to reduce those ratios. And I think his language is if there is money, something to that effect. Hopefully that will help reduce ratios. It'll take some time though.
Mr. Anderson, you don't think that us being so close to the border and the border being shut down could have affected the enrollment? No,
I don't think so. You know, most of our parents live here.
I'm being realistic.
No, I know. And some of them, you know, have a home here or an apartment here.
Yeah, I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the fact that they got comfortable because they didn't have to. And I say this because of my mom's neighbor. Her kids home, they did the internet thing all year and it was easy for them. So maybe it's harder to move them around again.
I don't know, you know, I could not speak to that.
I think I lost a lot of my worker pool that way too.
Well, yeah, the workers. Yeah. But
I mean, even though they have worker visas or whatnot, you know, I think
some parents are scared, you know. I mean, I've had, at least I've handled 10 calls from the summer on where they're asking, are you going to do digital? Because they think, you know, oh, it's a charter school. They must be doing digital. So I get these calls from parents like, are you doing digital?
Optional.
And I'm like, no, 100%, you know. And then they're like, oh.
Calexico gave them that option, no?
It is, but a funny thing is happening. I think we've got like 3 new Calexico, we're getting more Calexico kids this year.
Right. I know Calexico. I sent 2 parents your way and they registered.
So that enrollment's going up, which is a good thing. I guess word is out there, you know. In fact, one of the parents I toured today was a Calexico parent with a 3rd grader.
Right.
And she was not happy with the digital education that they provided. Right. Is livid about her child's. Right. Academic.
Well, I heard that about a lot of parents. They weren't happy with a lot of the schools. And I said, well, that's not the case. They said, my kid didn't learn a thing. And I said, well, I can't say that about mine. Mine actually learned a lot. But I think, like you said, it depends a lot on the school and the teacher. So those 2 parents put their kids in Ballington.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, one came
keep
from,
going. Honest, keep going, Lily. Yeah, thank you for the cookies in the Lincoln, office, too.
Lincoln Elementary and the other one from Sunflower.
Wonderful. So, yeah, we get a lot of kids from Sunflower at times, you know.
Yeah. So the parent says to me, oh, well, Ethan wanted me to take him out of this school because he says there's not a playground. So she says, oh, we drove through all the schools and they had kids in the playground. I said, well, you're going to have to weigh your options. You know, you obviously took them out of there because you weren't happy for a reason.
Right.
So you have to weigh what's more important, recess or learning.
Right. And we're not having outside recess right now because of the heat and space and sweating and no water fountains. And I'm waiting to get water bottle filling stations put on our water fountain. So that's coming. Everything's back ordered, unfortunately. You know, in fact, we don't even have our math disposables, you know, and I ordered them at the top of July and they're like, oh, well, we're still back ordered, but you're in the queue, you know? So,
Bill, you can get a whole bunch of masks and sanitizers from IVDC. They got another huge,
supply. Oh, no, we're fine. We're fine. We have supplies like that out the wazoo, because we went the last time, you mentioned that to us and we stocked up and then, you know, other people with hand sanitizers and masks and, you know, so I think we're fine with that, you know, but we're going to do inside the classroom lunches right now. And then we transformed, you know, during lunch, the cafeteria into like a recess room. And then we also have a runoff room because the kids are eating in their classroom. One of the classrooms can then become like my nutritional lead. He cracks me up. He's got Disney Plus. And all he has to do is type in G or, you know what I mean? And get all the movies and shows that he wants to show him. And so today, you know, it was we tried it for the first time and it really went well. You know, I mean, the kids, some kids opted to stay in the classroom and watch the movie or show. And some kids went into the cafeteria and just hung out and, you know, he had these real soft balls that they could play with. And so we're going to do that at least until November, you know, and part of that is also because, you know, from an operational perspective, you know, I want to get a handle on how we move through the building and get our systems in place. And then when the weather changes November 1st, you know, then we'll move there. And then I'm hoping, you know, I'm calling and reaching out to like asphalt companies, because they just sealed the parking lot you know, and I was thinking we might do that to the back playground, which would give it a smoother surface and then move on from there, you know. But that's in my imagination right now.
I think you're all right. I think the kids that have been there since TK or kinder don't even miss it, to be honest.
Oh, no, you know, they do fine. You know, but I'd like to change the culture of outside somehow, you know, and I think this is the start of how we do it by, you know, shifting the way we do recess at first, because, you know, when it's 118 degrees and the kids are still running around, you know, some of them still have sweatshirts on, you know, I just can't stand seeing that, you know. It's like, whoa, let's wait until the weather changes and see how we can shift a recess to a different kind of interacting. Plus with the COVID, you know, and the teachers still take the kids outside for PE class, but, you know, it's the idea that even when outside, they need to be socially distanced, but they can take their masks off. So that's a nice break.
And I know we've talked about the playground probably for many years, and it's always just been an economic funding situation for us. And I know we get asked if we're going to have softball teams.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately, I just don't think we're there yet. We've got a lot of learning focus to do.
I was thinking about putting together a drill team.
Oh, yes.
But I think right now our focus should be academics, to be quite honest. You know?
Absolutely. We got transitioning, I believe, if I may, into the next topic, AB 130. That was also another law that got passed and really, I want to say, was significant to both the charter world as well as the traditional schools. Ultimately, we had mentioned remote learning. The state has shared that really the only option for remote learning is to comply with AB 130. And AB 130 brings with it, and they're calling it under independent study, a whole host of requirements and complexities that each school must implement before you can really even begin to offer an independent study or / remote learning. School districts are required to do this. Charter schools are not at this point. I listed very briefly some of these requirements. You have to have a comprehensive board policy, and this within the board policy, it speaks to, I want to say, like 15 or 16 different elements that must be included in the board policy. You have to have a master agreement. You have to have attendance records. Prior to this law, independent study, you could provide a plan for work. Teachers could sign off on it. The students could bring it back. And then you could get credit for their attendance. And it was a way to help support your ADA. Under this new scenario, much like remote learning, you have to have live interaction. You have to it's done by grades, levels, how much is required, what type is required. Ultimately, it is looking like it's going to be heavily audited. And they really want it implemented after 30 days after school starts. So Shannon and Bill and I met. Again, it was signed into law on July 9th, I want to say just a little bit over a month ago. And when it was signed into law, the CDE is still pushing out changes. As far as how to operationally implement it, I think they have weekly talks or weekly webinars on the new regulations and or the changes within the regulations. We actually also looked at how often we used independent study in the past and if it significantly impacted our ADA. And based on that, at this point, we due to the complexities and really limited economic gain, we were making a recommendation to hold on implementing this option at this time. Board members, I did want to just bring that to your attention. Again, we will continue to watch it and to continue to see if it is a possibility or it would be beneficial for Ballington. At the same time, at this point, it looks due to the again, heavily audited, very intense requirements, we were opting not to move forward with it at this point. Do I have any questions on that?
Is this intended to be, or is the right way to think about this as something that would come up when life kind of returns to normal, and parents want to have their kids stay at home still, but we're back to full time in person. So I'm trying to figure out what the benefit would be, or when the push, if there's any big push or benefit to having that policy or having that option.
It's more like they want the children back in school.
Yes. They do, and they're making it very specific because, again, they're keying in on, you know, more requirements and expectations, so that if a school is going to do that, they really, you know, they got to step up their game. It can't just be rolling out the ball, and they need to have a serious plan of action in place to again, address learning loss. You know,
I see. So really, it's kind of the opposite coin is, yeah. You know, we're going to make this really tough if you want to do this. So
right.
Hopefully you don't want to do it. Okay.
Exactly. And they,
thank you.
Yeah. And honestly, we always had independent study, and Ballington had a policy where if, you know, as long as you reached out to the teacher prior, before your absence, you know, the teacher could put together a packet. It could be guided by the general ed teacher. The student would return their work. We would sign off on it. We would get credit for it. That is no longer acceptable. They have added a number of additional requirements. Like I said, it's required for school districts to offer. They're allowing charter schools the choice.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, what's that? Okay, that wasn't my last one. My goodness, bear with me. But the very last one is also a new, relatively new. I think it came out on August 12th. It was a new order by the governor stating that all school workers needed to be vaccinated. And if they were not vaccinated, they needed to be tested weekly. So I put in place a process or a procedure for which Ballington Academy can implement that. Honestly, I pulled it exactly from the governor's order. And then I just added how we would go about doing it. Essentially, developing a tracking spreadsheet for those that have their vaccinations. For those that do not, then of course, tracking the weekly testing of those tests. The order does indicate we have to have it in place by, I think, October. So I have us having it in place a little bit earlier at this point.
Are all the teachers vaccinated, or how many do we have that's not?
I have three staff members that are not. And it looks like one of them is going to go get vaccinated, and two of them are going to opt for the weekly testing.
Okay. Bill, you're mute.
I have one, but I have a kid left over in ACEs, okay? So I've got to deal with this. I'll be right back. But I think I only have one, but they're starting to give in their vaccination cards now. So that's good. And I'm trying to convince the other one.
It's actually not too bad, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting the vaccination cards as well from staff members. They're sending me pictures and scans, things like that. I think we probably need to come up with a way we are handling that information that's consistent between the two schools. But I think rolling out the policy needs to come first, and then then probably, and Doreen, please stop me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I think that our next step is to have a conversation with the three of us to make sure we're handling the information in a confidential and consistent way.
Yes. And just backing up, I realized that I did skip under the school operation guidelines. I skipped right over the response to the pandemic. Ultimately, we will follow CDC guidelines. And I had provided that for you in your board packet as far as really the steps that we would take. I also provided you with what they're calling the K-12 recommendations on that for the students and for the staff. And that is really the table that we'll be using at this point until it changes to how we respond to some of these cases. Specifically, as you can tell under the staff table, if you're vaccinated, you do a whole different approach. And if you're not vaccinated, you take an alternate approach. So you just keeping that in mind at this point.
Okay.
Any questions?
As Shannon said, sort of need to be handled confidential, so teachers don't know really about each other who has been vaccinated or not, correct?
Correct. What I had put in the procedure was that they would provide it to the principal, and the principal would be the recipient of it, and then they would transition it to human resources. And then the principal would manage that spreadsheet. I'm hopeful that since we have a smaller, I couldn't imagine, oh my gosh, with thousands and thousands of employees, but since we have smaller numbers, that it'll be once, you know, the principals have got their vaccination cards, there's only a couple that they're really tracking for the weekly tests. And we'll provide, you know, there was a huge discussion if we want to do testing on site. And at this point, we're moving towards referring them to, there's a lot of different testing sites within the community that we'll refer them to.
Do they have to, so the people that elect to do the testing, they need to go and pay for it and produce the results, right? What, within a couple of days, or they just need to have one weekly?
In my process, I say the specific day and by when.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Because I was thinking about that too. And I was like, no, because at some point, if they're not following the process, principals are going to have to take them off schedule, right? Because then we're not complying with the governor's order, and we're essentially held liable to that. So I kind of said, you know, if they don't turn it in by this time, then the principal needs to advise that they're no longer on shift the next day.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Hopefully a lot of them will get vaccinated. I'm hopeful, but Ms. Shannon, it sounds like you have a couple though.
A couple.
Okay.
Comparable compensation data?
Yes, board members, and I'll tee it off, and then I think Christy will take it from here then. Mm-hmm. We had begun this discussion, I believe, back in May with Mr. McFadden's resignation, and the discussion began about my role and whether or not I should be maintained as a consultant or maintained as an employee. I know we sought legal counsel on that. And then we even got communication from Mr. Ledoux as well. The legal counsel has recommended, as well as our independent auditor, that this position really be a staffed position, an employee position. However, because of the position there are certain steps that the board must take or must follow to be in compliance with nonprofit, I want to say law or regulations, for lack of a better word, procedures. Ultimately, a salary survey has to be done. At that point, from the salary survey, the board needs to meet in closed session, which I believe you'll be doing tonight, discuss it, and then come back in open session at another board meeting and present out. Ultimately, we did have a review of comparable compensation data done. We opted to have a third party do it to allow for no conflict of interest, no perception of conflict of interest. So actually the attorneys did put together the compensation data. They compared multiple schools, and you have that information in your board packet. That was really the first step I want to say a multi-pronged process. And with that, Chrissy, I'll turn it over to you if I left anything out or needed to add.
No, I don't think you left anything out. I think this dovetails very nicely into the closed session notes and agenda that we have. So, Joseph, can you break us out into a separate room?
Due to some technical difficulties, I'm going to be sending you a separate Zoom invitation if you can join another meeting and then rejoin this one.
Okay.
So, Christy, we'll just wait here then, it sounds like, for you guys to come back, if that's
okay. Okay. See, Joseph, we should log off of this completely?
Yeah, so basically just a new link to join.
Okay.
And
be right back.
Joseph, would it be okay if, because we're out of open session, could we stop recording?
Okay.
Good point. Now we can talk about our weekend plans, right?
Yeah, it's called work.
Goodness. My screen was having little black blotches. I